Welcome to the Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Hazel Gashoka. Hazel represents the best of student activism. When you do the right thing, sometimes the dark forces that I write about and talk about target them, and that's what Hazel faces now. She's a University of Ottawa student. She challenged racism on campus. It's vile, it's extensive, it harms lots of ordinary people at the university. It's enforced by the university authorities. Well, Hazel made a video. She didn't do anything out of the ordinary. She said things that need to be said. It got a lot of play online, and she was targeted as a result. She was threatened with a lawsuit. Hazel, I welcome you. I'm not current on where things stand now, but let me let you explain. Explain to listeners what you did, why you did it, and what the situation is right now.
Definitely. Well, firstly, thank you, Stephen, for your support and interest in this case. Also, I'd like to apologize in advance. I have calmed down with the cold, but I'll try to be as clear and concise as possible.
Oh, you sound loud and clear.
Okay, thank you. So I'd like to start at the beginning. So I took the scenic route while completing my undergrad at the University of Ottawa, which really gave me a lot of time to become involved on campus. So my different roles include being the former president of the Kilimanjaro Black Student Association. I was a member of the 2008 Racism Task Force on campus. I was a chairperson of the Student Federation of the University of Ottawa's Black History Month Committee and co-founder of Black Caucus. And in 2008, the student union released a public report about systemic racism at the University of Ottawa. The university administration asked Professor Juan St. Louis, a black professor, to act as the expert to assess the student report in a responding report. Professor St. Louis found that there was no basis for affirming systemic racism at U of O, based on the student union's report. Now, her report didn't sit very well with me because I'm a black woman and I've experienced racism at the University of Ottawa. I've also spoken with several other students of color who've also experienced racism at U of O. For example, if I can digress for a moment, without getting into the specifics of this case, in 2008, two black males were beaten with belts by a group of white males who yelled white power, and this incident happened on our campus. In March 2010, I emailed Professor St. Louis to discuss the report. Professor St. Louis failed to respond to over half a dozen of my emails, and when she finally did respond, she said that I should recontact her towards the end of May 2010 for a meeting. So as directed, I recontacted her, but she didn't respond. It wasn't until I sent her about four more emails throughout the following months that I actually received an automated message saying that she was on sabbatical. Now, my question was, if this report was done for the benefit of students of color, and I'm a student of color, why wouldn't Professor Juan St. Louis meet with me? So of late, on November 2012, I sent an email to Professor Juan St. Louis telling her that I made a YouTube video about her, and I posted on my blog, and I asked her to provide me with any comments or correction, and I was more than happy to put them up as well on my blog. Professor St. Louis didn't respond to any of my emails, but her lawyer, Richard Dearden, did. And on December 18, 2012, I received a notice of libel from Mr. Dearden. So in the YouTube video that I made, I expressed the opinion that Professor St. Louis acted as President Alan Rock's house Negro. Now, I'm using the term as postulated by Malcolm X. So the term house Negro, what it does is it identifies black people who work as collaborators with their white masters just to make sure that the field Negroes stay in their place. And I believe that's exactly what Professor St. Louis did. So I think that she collaborated with the white administration to keep the students of color in check. And I mean, the fact that she was hired by Mr. Rock, a white man, to make this report and then essentially say that systemic racism does not exist, it led me to that conclusion that she acted as a house Negro.
Indeed, Hazel. And Alan Rock is a University of Iowa president. He's a former politician, a former UN ambassador of Canada. I call him what he is. He's an extremist. He targeted, we've discussed him on this program, Hazel, and Professor St. Louis. She has a $1 million lawsuit against Denny Rancourt, a tenured professor who was dismissed unjustifiably from the university. Denny has been on this program several times. He'll be back. He's facing a $1 million lawsuit. I'm just outrageous. And Malcolm, the term that Malcolm used at first in 1963, a very legitimate term. Black people who conspire against their own, I think it's a wonderful way to describe them. You could use other terminology, but the point is it's a very legitimate term, and to use it is no justification for a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. And in fact, I think it's important to note that the former physics professor, Denis Rancourt, who is being sued for $1 million for expressing the exact same views that I did, that his defamation lawsuit is actually being funded by the administration.
Indeed. Exactly.
And the same lawyer that is that's leading that case is the one who sent me the notice of libel. So with that being said, I have reason to believe that the University of Iowa may be potentially funding this lawsuit against me.
Hazel, I just ask listeners to think about this for a moment. Here you've got a university that claims impeccable credentials. It's been a while since I wrote about the principles that the University of Ottawa claims to stand for. I mean, they're very high sounding, very noble, et cetera, and so on. And the university absolutely spurns them right down the line. And instead of putting a legitimate administrator in charge of the university, they put a political hack. Literally, Alan Rock is a political hack in charge of the university, and he targets truth. He targeted Denny. He targeted one of Denny's star students. I forget his first name. Michael Kelly, was it?
Mark Kelly,
an exemplary student. He drove him out of the university with just two or three courses remaining to complete his degree. He didn't let him do it, and he targeted Denny, a tenured professor, a world-renowned expert in physics, also very expert in environmental science. He drummed him out of the university. He said if he comes on campus, he'll be arrested. I mean, imagine doing stuff like that. There's a word that describes this. It's called fascism. So University of Ottawa is run like a fascist institution because you've got a political hack in charge targeting students, targeting tenured professors. Who will they go after next? And they're going after them for the wrong reason. People who speak out honorably about things that need to be said, they're the ones who get targeted. And the people who are the wrongdoers, they have free rein to do whatever they want. And then they fund. They use university funds to fund lawsuits against people who don't have deep pockets. Denny is defending himself on his own. And I hope you don't run into a lawsuit situation, Hazel. What more do you know about that? Has it come to anything along those lines yet?
Well, what I did was actually on February 27th, 2013, I held a press conference at the University of Ottawa. So the purpose of the press conference was to ask President Rock as well as Professor St. Louis not to sue me. I invited them both to the press conference, but neither of them attended, nor did they respond to my invitation. But after the press conference, a few of Professor St. Louis's friends actually approached me and told me that they'd be happy to set up a meeting with Professor St. Louis and I, as well as other students of color. So, you know, I was happy with that new news. So what I did was I contacted Professor St. Louis directly, but she didn't respond. Her lawyer did. So Mr. Richard Dearden said that Professor St. Louis will not be discussing meeting with me until I take down my video. And he also said that the pending libel action against me stands and that I should retain a lawyer. I found that to be very intimidating. And you know what? The thing is, I will not take down my video. I stand by my statement. I made that video. But I'm also not an unreasonable person. If new data presents itself that suggests that she wasn't acting as Alan Rock's house Negro, then I'll retract my statement and take down my video. But at this time, I refuse to be silent, even with the threat of a lawsuit.
It really is incredible, Hazel, that stuff like this could go on. You would think it would be inconceivable that at a university, a well-known university with a well-established reputation, would sink to a level this low, and yet it has. It has against their own. I mean, who knows who they'll target next, but they're literally targeting truth. They want it suppressed. They want to run their institution like my goodness, like a police state. What else can you call it? And going after innocent people, people who do the right thing, it's astonishing. But if they went after Mark Kelly and Denny Rancourt and threatening you, and using the lawyer who contacted you comes from one of Canada's most esteemed law firms, and I think there are two of Canada's very, very highly regarded law firms that are going up against Denny. So he's doing it on his own with no funding, just doing the best he can. If he'll be an expert in the law before this is over, I think he surprised the judge with his legal expertise. He's not a lawyer, but he needs to defend himself. And he doesn't have deep pockets to spend all kinds of money. So he literally exhausted his resources and had to do it on his own. So it's astonishing that these people would do it. And anybody can be vulnerable. And if it could happen at U of O, Hazel, it can happen anywhere across Canada, can happen anywhere in America, maybe anywhere in Europe. Do the right thing, and you can become victimized. That's the message.
Definitely, yep. But actually, another interesting point that I wanted to raise was that in the email that I received from Mr. Dearden, he actually said, and this is a direct quote, that Professor St. Louis is incredulous that as a young black woman, you are insensitive to the racist nature of the content of your video posts. And I just find that disturbing. And my response really to that is that it's really threefold. So the first of which is that you know, me saying that Professor St. Louis acted as Alan Rock's house Negro, it's not an ad hominem attack. It's a scholarly judgment. So I'm saying that I think semantics are very important in this instance. So I'm saying that the behavior which she exhibited fits the characteristics as explained by Malcolm X. Secondly, I also don't do indiscriminate sisterhood. So just because her and I are black women doesn't mean I'm going to naturally support her. And lastly, and most importantly, I think that when you're fighting against racism, you have to call out those black people who act as collaborators. You know, if I can quote Marcus Garvey, he says, those who desire to serve the Negro people must be prepared for criticism from his or her own race.
Oh, indeed. Twice I wrote about the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. I guess in a way it's a little bit like some of what's in the U.S. Bill of Rights. But I wrote it in the article I wrote about you, Hazel, and I wrote it earlier in another article about Denny. And I cited Section 2B, and it says, quote, everyone has the following fundamental freedoms: freedom of conscience and religion, freedom of thought, belief, opinion, and expression, including freedom of the press and other media of communication, and so on and so forth. Freedom of expression, that means you can do it in the press, you can do it privately, personally, that's what you did, you complied with the law, and they're suing you for complying with the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms.
Definitely. And that's the thing that's so appalling, like the fact that I think that as a public figure, we should be able to criticize these public figures and say that, hey, like what you're doing is not right. And just the fact that they're, you know, she's protected and funded by the university administration, I find that to be very disturbing. I do believe that we are living in an advanced state of fascism. It doesn't sit right with me, which is why I felt so compelled to speak up.
Well, it's very true, Hazel. I've written so much about what's going on in America. Occasionally, I write about Canada. But Canada really is following the same path that America has been on for a good number of years. It preceded the 9/11 situation, but it really was stepped up severely post 9/11. And I remember an article I wrote at the end of 2007, I believe it was, either 2007 or 2008. I called it Police State America with a subtitle, and I simply went through all of the laws that the U.S. Congress passed. I covered other things, including presidential executive orders and special memos relating to this, and other memoranda, and national security, presidential national security orders, I forget the precise term that's used for that, presidential ones and national security ones, a whole list of stuff. It's all there in the public record. I didn't make any of this up. And you go through all of this, and there's only one conclusion you can come to, that literally a police state is being established and laws are on the books that affirm it. And then you get into the Obama administration, and you get things like Obama established a kill list to kill anybody in the world, including U.S. citizens, on his say alone. On his say alone also, he can put anyone, he can detain anyone without charge in a military prison indefinitely. On his say alone. No due process, no habeas rights. I mean, this is police state stuff. And Canada is following the same path. I haven't kept up with the legislation in Canada, but what happens in America, what happens in California, they say in America, Hazel, generally spreads across the country. I guess what happens in America spreads north to Canada, and Canada is experiencing some of the same things. And with a prime minister like Stephen Harper, I mean, he's a clone of George Bush. And Obama, Bush was up to no good. Obama is up to no good. Stephen Harper is up to no good.
Definitely. Absolutely agree with that point.
It's a very serious situation, and fascism is the way to describe it. It really is the way. And fascism, we call it a police state. I remember reading a book years ago by a man named Bertram Gross. He wrote it in the 1980s. He said, when fascism comes to America, it'll be wrapped in the American flag. I thought it was a wonderful line. I've quoted it a few times. Well, I guess it's the same in Canada. You know, they say all the right things, the platitudes, the good stuff. And the sad thing is that most people believe this stuff. But you look behind the books, and it's all corroded and corrupt and vicious. How many Canadians or Americans can quote the law? How many know the laws that are on the books that political leaders at the federal in America, state, local level, they have their own laws. These federal laws too, I guess. In Canada, at the national, at the provincial level, maybe at the city level, they can do anything they want. They can target innocent people. And what power do we have, Hazel, to go up against the power of the state? In America, we say go fight City Hall. Yeah, fat chance you have when you go do it. Well, it's the same in Canada, the same most everywhere. But ordinary people get hurt, and somebody as important doing the right thing as you and Denny, you get targeted, as I like to say, for doing the right thing.
Exactly. But I feel so strongly about the ability to speak freely, the ability to, as I say, like fighting racism. I think part of fighting racism, an important part, is the ability to express yourself freely and call those collaborators out. Because they, you know, oftentimes I've heard the expression that you can be a ventriloquist in black skin and yet purport very strong notions against black people. And people like that who purport to be fighting against racism should be called out and need to be. And so I feel so strongly about doing this that I will not, and I refuse at this point, to take down my video or to be silenced. I think that even litigation is a child's play out. It's a baby's way of dealing with matters. We should really encourage discussion and dialogue, and that's also part and parcel of what I wanted to do with the press conference, was to open up the channels of communication so I can sit down and have that dialogue with Professor St. Louis. But she just refuses to meet with me.
Well, that's an expression of cowardice. I mean, she wouldn't even give you the courtesy or the sensibility to sit down and discuss what's going on. Well, the reason she didn't do it was she was enlisted by Alan Rock to discount the racism that exists on the U of O campus. And I wrote about that, and it's there. Medical students filed a lawsuit against the university because they were targeted unfairly. Foreign medical students.
Yes.
I guess a lot of them people of color, maybe from countries like India, Pakistan, wherever they're from, and they were targeted unfairly, and they filed a lawsuit against medical faculty at U of O. I don't know where that stands. I mean, this stuff can drag out for years, but there absolutely is racism. And it seems so convoluted to me, Hazel, that you, a black woman, is called on for expressing racism in a video you made that explains racism on the U of O campus.
Exactly.
I mean, they've got it exactly upside down.
Exactly. Definitely. Definitely. It's true.
Where do things stand now? You're still in limbo on this. Are you getting any more correspondence from the law firm?
No, the most recent correspondence that I received from Mr. Richard Dearden, Professor St. Louis's legal counsel, was that I should cease communicating with Professor St. Louis, because I did send her another email kindly request that her and I meet. So he told me to stop emailing her and to speak to him directly, and that, again, that she would not be meeting with me until I take down my video. So that's kind of where things stand.
That's
and
that
email I received about 9 days ago.
You know,
but at this point, I still am. I tried to email President Alan Rock, and I asked him if he, because I did receive unconfirmed report from the French-speaking student journal on our campus, La Rotonde, which stated that that the University of Ottawa was not planning on suing me, and that was a statement made by the University of Ottawa's media person. And so I emailed Mr. Rock, and I asked him directly. I said, I've heard unconfirmed reports that, in fact, you're not planning on suing me. Can you please confirm or deny that? And he just refused to respond. I've sent him several emails just requesting for him to respond as to whether or not he'll be suing me, because I am really concerned about that. I'm a student. I'm a poor, black student. I make less than $13,000 a year, and I simply don't have the money to pay for a lawyer.
Hazel, I can understand that. It's a long time since I was a student, and it was a lot cheaper to go to school way back in the 1950s when I was in college and grad school. But I understand what it means to be a poor student. When I got finished at the end of the 1950s, I wanted to go to work as quickly as possible because I was broke. I needed the money. I mean, you got to have an income to be able to live. So I understand the issue of being a poor student who struggles very hard to get by. And I appreciate your situation, and I also take great feel great anger that a university with enormous funds and contributors to its endowment fund and so on, and the power of the state behind it when it needs it, especially with a former political person in charge of the university, for them, you know, I mean, it's not even a David and Goliath struggle. I mean, it's like putting up the U.S. Marines against maybe a condominium association.
Exactly.
I mean, it simply isn't a fair fight. If they want to go after you and decide they want to beat you, there's nothing in the world you can do about it. I mean, they can keep you in court. They can keep you in human misery. They may not be 10 cents they can get from you, but they can make your life so miserable and drag it out endlessly that they literally can make you suffer one way or another. If it's not monetarily, it's emotionally, it's any way they want to do it. And it shows the evil in the hearts of anybody who would want to do something like this.
Exactly. And think of the irony, too, that that an administration would use student tuition to sue a student. Like, it's mind-boggling.
Well, it really is true. I mean, they will use university funds. Why don't they use that money? I mean, you said it. Why don't they use that money to give a poor student a scholarship? A number of
poor
student scholarships. And if they're suing you, what else are they doing that they shouldn't be doing? How else are they wasting university money that could be spent for very, very good purposes, but they're not doing it? I ask a question. Why on earth do they put a political hack in charge of the university instead of a distinguished academic who understands the university environment? Alan Rock doesn't know anything about education. He knows about state policy and imperialism and imperial wars and that kind of stuff. He's very good at that. I mean, he's literally turned U of O into a war zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just, my issue is that with all this going on with the pending litigation and even what's happening to, Professor Doncourt, I think that the issue, the real issue is being lost. I think that, not that I think, but that I know that, students are still continuing to to experience racism at the University of Ottawa. You know, you still have these high-profile cases of racial discrimination, which are also followed by unreported cases that continued, and they continue unimpeded. And it's very disturbing that it's like nothing's being done to address the issue of racism at the University of Ottawa.
Well, nothing is being done about it because the university is responsible for fostering it, Hazel. I want to say this for sure before this program ends, and we just have a few minutes. I absolutely hope you will stay in touch with me. The injustice against you, to me, is an injustice that affects so many others. It certainly affects me. It's something that I simply can't tolerate. I welcome you back on this program. If there are new developments, I'll let listeners know about it. If there's enough to fill an article, I'll write about it. I think it's important to get this kind of information out to people, to let everyone know, as many people as possible know, that these kind of injustices take place. And the important thing is, whatever happens to you and others like you, Hazel, can literally happen to anybody for any reason whatsoever. And it is happening. I've written about dozens of individuals who've been wrongly targeted in America, a few who were wrongly affected in Canada, and a number of them overseas as well. I must have written, oh my goodness, 5, 6, 7 dozen people wrongly targeted, people languishing in prison. Not so much lawsuits to get the remuneration, but targeted, wrongly charged with offenses they didn't commit, put in prison, jurors intimidated to convict them, they're political prisoners. My friend Lynn Stewart, a renowned human rights lawyer, got a 10-year sentence for defending the wrong client. That's what it was, defending the wrong client. She has cancer. We've talked about it on this program briefly. I wrote about her many times. I wrote a recent article saying she's not getting the proper treatment. Without it, she's dying. Her cancer has spread. She needs the kind of treatment that prison authorities will not give her. And I said, Obama, the title of my most recent article was, Obama Wants Her Dead. She should be released on compassionate release. This type system exists in America. If there are extenuating circumstances that warrant a compassionate release, it should be granted. It has been granted at times, but I don't think they're going to let Lynn out because I really think Obama wants her dead. That's a real serious situation. And again, what did she do? She did the right thing, and she was targeted for doing it. Same with you, Hazel. Just a minute or so left. Let me give you the final thoughts.
I'd actually just like to encourage listeners, if they have an opportunity, to just go on YouTube and have a look at my video. So first name is Hazel and last name is Gashoka. That's spelled G as in golf, A as in apple, S as in Sam, H as in hotel, O as in ocean, K as in kilo, A as in apple. If you type in Hazel Gashoka, you can find the video on YouTube. It'll pop up, as well as the press conference. And I also encourage people to do their due diligence and make up their own opinion. I'm not here to force my opinion on anybody, but I just want to have the ability to live in a society where I can make these criticisms without being threatened with litigation.
Hazel, I watched your video, and I agree down the line with everything you said. You said what needed to be said. You said it honestly and honorably. And there's no cause to target you for doing so. And Canada's Charter of Rights backs you up. I absolutely stand with you. I welcome you back. And we will stay on this. I won't let this die. I feel that way about Denny. I feel that way about everybody who's wrongly targeted. There are so many. It's so hard to keep up, Hazel. But your case is important. Everybody's case is important.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you for your support and for giving me this platform to share my story. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. I'll just remind listeners that we are on every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. This program is dedicated to getting important issues discussed, getting important people on to do it. The program also is Saturdays and Sundays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Two marvelous guests scheduled over the weekend. I try to do it every time. Please tune in, tell others about it, and I love to end the program by saying, make it a regular habit.